ברוכים הנמצאים. תראה שיעור הוא ביסטרית לעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סבות. רוח אדוני תניחנו בגן עדן, אמן. We are in פרשת יתרו. הפרשה begins with the arrival of Yitro, who the Torah refers to him, Kohen Midian, the priest of Midian, Hoten Moshe. Yitro also happens to be the father-in-law of Moshe. And this Kohen Midian, Hoten Moshe, arrives at the desert, where Klal Yisrael is now camped. Keep in mind, we just came out of Egypt. And after a short while, Yitro is very impressed of what he heard, and that causes him to convert. He becomes a Ger Tzedek, a righteous convert, and he joins the ranks of authentic Judaism, and the Torah goes on to tell us some different pieces of advice that Yitro gives Moshe Rabbeinu. And basically the theme, at least of the beginning of the parasha, is Yitro's emergence to the nation, emergence into Judaism. And the Torah clearly writes, Vayishma Yitro, he heard something. Although the Pasuk doesn't tell us what he heard, but he heard something. It says, Vayishma Yitro, Kohen Midian, Hoten Moshe. Again, it just tells us who he is, the priest of Midian, the father of Moshe. What did he hear? Torah says, Et Kol asher asa Elohim leMoshe Yisrael. Everything that Elohim did, ki yotzi Adonai et Yisrael leMitzrayim. That the God called Yudke Vavke took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. You know me, when I read Pesukim, the first thing that catches my eye is the names of God that are being used in the Pasuk, because that is going to tell us a lot of indication of the direction of the Pasuk, of the mood of the Pasuk, and of the message of the Pasuk. And right away I jumped. Vayishma Yitro, what did he hear? He heard something that Elohim did, and he heard something that Yudke Vavke did. Now I know it must be two different things. Although I'm not too sure what Elohim is and what Yudke Vavke is, I know those are two names of God, but it says he heard those two things. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midian. I hate to be so technical in the text. Some people get bored from the text. They just come on to hear stories. You know, they want to hear a nice parable from the Magid Meduvna, and stories of the Tzaddikim. I'm not against it. You can come to my house Motzei Shabbat. That's all I do, is tell stories about the Tzaddikim. But on Thursdays, on Thursday, I have no choice if I'm to develop a Hiddush. Hiddushim cannot come out of thin air. You know, there are a lot of, unfortunately, freelancers that just, they make up stuff. And then when you ask them, could you document your ideas from a text? Well, no, this is just, my own concoction. Now, concoctions might be good in the kitchen. To experiment over a dinner or something, but we are not at the liberty to experiment when it comes to interpreting the Bible. Just like I have to assume that a brain surgeon doesn't experiment on a patient during surgery. Let's see what happens when we pull this nerve. Mistakes. Oops. The text is more complicated than brain surgery, because in the text, we are entering the brain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is the brain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we try to understand it, we must walk very, very carefully. Therefore, everything has to be done painstakingly. It cannot be done, casually. Again, that's my introduction, because I know a lot of people, he's starting with words again. I have no choice. I mean, you could tune out for the word part, and you can make up for the punchline if that's okay. Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan, what did he hear? Et kol asher asa Elohim. He heard something that Elohim did. And then the same pasuk says, Ki hotzi yudke vavke et yisem Mitzrayim. And I'm asking, what did he hear about Elohim and what did he hear about yudke vavke? Good news. Rashi HaKadosh right away tells us what he heard. Vayishma Yitro, ma shimua shama uba. What did he hear that caused him to, you know, come to Judaism? Two things. Kiryat Yamsuf, umilhemet Amalek. He heard about the latest two events that happened in Jewish news. First of all, he heard about Kiryat Yamsuf. He wasn't there. He heard about it. Today, if there would be Kiryat Yamsuf, clearly there would be videos flying around on the WhatsApp, and there would be all sorts of news reports of it with footage. In those days, the most Yitro can get was a Vayishma. He heard about it, but he got good details. According to our tradition, it was one of the most stunning miracles ever. It wasn't just that the sea split. Me'am Noez lists 50 miracles that happened at Kiryat Yam Suf. When I was young, in high school, I came across this Me'am Noez, and I was amazed, marveled, 50 miracles. And I took out a piece of paper, and I actually wrote 1 to 50, and in English, I documented all the 50. And that year at my seder table, I was a kid in high school, I said, Abotai, I'm going to read to you the 50 miracles. And each people couldn't believe it. And that's only one opinion. Some opinions actually say there was 250 miracles that happened at the splitting of the sea. The splitting is only one of 250 miracles. So we heard about that. And that has to move you. These things don't happen every day. So we heard about Kiryat Yam Suf. He also heard about another event that is much less, fascinating or exciting or, earth-shattering news. He heard about the war of Amalek. We weren't here last week. I wasn't here either. We were, we were upstaged by a snowstorm. But in last week's parasha, if you remember, Amalek attacks. We came out of Egypt, we're going on our way to the desert, we're in the desert, all of a sudden from nowhere, from left field, this rogue nation called Amalek comes and attacks the Jewish people, a war breaks out. I mean, we're not out of Egypt for a few days. And all of a sudden, major war of what would become enemy number one of Klal Yisrael, the ardent enemy, Amalek. The Sheet Goyim, the first ones always to attack, and Yehoshua ben Nun in his first war effort leads the Jewish army into a victory. Vayachalosh Yehoshua at Amalek, he weakened them. He heard about that as well. And these two events, Kiryat Yam Suf and Melchemet Amalek, which to me do not sound related, although they happened, I guess, chronologically back to back to each other, but I don't see a relationship between the two things. They sound random to me. It sounds a little garden variety. He heard of Kiryat Yam Suf and he heard about Melchemet Amalek, and that's it. I'm Jewish. So I spent this week trying to crack the connection between the two, what Yitro's conclusion was, and what caused them to then become Jewish. Now, how do I crack it? Where would I begin? I'll tell you how I begin. I begin by saying to myself that I know what the Ramban said. Ramban taught me in the book of Bereshit, and you've heard it here many times, Ma'aseh Avot Siman Labanim, that if you want to trace anything that will happen in our history, you can always trace it back to the origin, and the origin will always be in something that happened to the Avot. They are the template of our history. It's a very important klal Thank God that Ramban gave it to us. I cannot tell you how many times I use that klal when I study Chumash. It's my favorite klal. Because I look at it like this. I'm in the book of Shemot now. But if I want to understand an event in Sefer Shemot, I could find the DNA of that story in the book of Bereshit somewhere. And if I can get to the DNA and put the DNA under a microscope and start to analyze the origins, then I could probably figure out a lot about what happens in this parasha. Our principle always is, whatever you're going to learn in the books, Shemot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Devarim, you always have to draw a line. Where is the roots of this story in the book of Bereshit? Where did this happen with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov? Once you locate it, you put it on a slide, you put it under the microscope, you magnify it, and you do a forensic on it. And once you get the forensic details on that episode, you understand the story that you're reading. That's the rule of the Ramban. Very, very key. Only problem is, it's not an easy to locate, as you know. So what am I looking for? Well, I'm looking for one of the avot that crosses Yam Suf and then gets attacked by Amalek. So, at first, because that never happened. One of the avot passes a body of water and then gets attacked by Amalek. And I say, hold it, hold it. I got it. I might have found the DNA of this episode. In Parashat Vayishlach, the Pasuk writes that none other than Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is traveling at night, just like Klal Yisrael was traveling at night when they were coming out of Egypt. Vayakum balaylahu, that night. Vayikach et shenen ashav ve et shte shifchotav. He took his, his family, betahad asar yelav, so it's Yaakov and his whole family. That was Klal Yisrael at the time, Yaakov and his children. And what do? Vayavor et ma'abar yabok. They cross a river. So we do see a case where all Am Yisrael collectively crossed the river. So my theory is, that's the DNA of Kiryat Yam Suf. And then the next thing that happens, who shows up? The angel. And what does the angel start to do? A fight. There's a war. And who was that angel? That angel is the angel of Esav, of course. And then right after Yaakov is with the angel, he meets the human version of the angel of Esav, and that's Esav himself. And he has a confrontation with Esav. So I say to myself, look, who's Esav? Esav's the grandfather of Amalek. I mean, Esav's son was Eliphaz. Eliphaz's son is Amalek. So this is incredible. You have a story over here of Am Yisrael crossing a body of water, and then you see the grandfather of Amalek called Esav attacking, and Baruch Hashem, you see Yaakov Avinu comes away unscathed. So here's where I make my analysis. I cannot study Parashat Yitro unless I study Parashat Vayishlach. If I get this Parashat clear, I can apply my findings to the current parasha. Are we clear on the methodology, how we do this? I don't have an exclusive on this, by the way. Anybody can do it. I guess the reason why I'm successful, because I just put so much time into it. But I believe anybody would sit with a chumash and know these keys, you could probably come up with the same thing. I don't consider myself any smarter than the next person. I just consider myself a little more diligent than the next person. So that's where you can give me credit. Not that I'm asking for any credit. Anyway, in this episode, I see the confrontation. The confrontation is a very small confrontation. Esav, it's a verbal one. Esav is not attacking Yaakov. That was the angel. That was the physical war. But then there's a conversation that takes place. Vayisa'et enav bayaret ha'nashim v'tayladim. Esav sees the children of Yaakov, his grandchildren, his wives, his big family, impressive. He didn't see him in 22 years. He left him, who knows where, in Laban's house. He didn't know what he's going to come look like. And all of a sudden he comes back as a father and a grandfather and a husband. Very impressed. Vayomer. So Esav says, Mi elelach. Oh, what is this here? Who are these people? Mi elelach. Which is a strange question. I mean, you don't have to be the Gaon de Vilna. You see a man standing with four ladies next to him, children and grandchildren. Oh, what is this? Am I looking at over here? Oh, what could it be? It's not the solar system. It's a man with his wives and his grandchildren. The question is a strange question. But you understand the question from Yaakov's answer. Vayomer, or Vayomar, I should say. Ailadim. Asher Hanan Elohim et Abdecha. He says, these are the children that Elohim provided me. I think if we can understand this pasuk correctly, we understand a very, very big yesod into the principle of Emunah. There's a famous Ramban. This Ramban you must know. This must be in your repertoire of Rambans. When you read your kids' stories before you go, they go to sleep at night, spend one night and read them this Ramban. He talks about miracles. He talks about open miracles. And he says, "Umina nisima gidolima mefursamim." When you see the open miracles, you have to imagine that there's a curtain, like in a Broadway show, Lehavdil. And all of a sudden the curtain opens and you see all the actors. You see them. The curtain reveals that there's people behind it. When they open the curtain, you see that there's actual people behind the curtain. Sometimes in Jewish history, God reveals the curtain and you see Him. And it's beyond the shadow of a doubt. You know what an example of that was? Kiryat Yam Suf. Kiryat Yam Suf, the atheist has to believe in God. The curtain is open. All the Jewish people said, "Ha, Ze'eli, Ze'eli, this is him." They pointed. It says the revelation on Yam Suf was so stunning that even the prophet Yehezkel did not merit to see such an open revelation. Kiryat Yam Suf is beyond doubt, beyond question. But the Ramban writes, that's not the goal. The goal is not Kiryat Yam Suf. After all, how often does a Kiryat Yam Suf happen? Very, very rare. I mean, since the last time was 3,000 years ago. It hasn't happened since. For whatever reason, God doesn't like to change the Sidre Bereshit. God doesn't change the order of nature. God created a certain rules of nature and He likes to keep by that rule. The Ramban says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev Et HaTeva. He likes keeping things predictable. Once in a while, when he wants to remind everybody that he's there, he opens the curtain. Rabotai. Oh. The Ramban says, but the purpose of the open miracle is to recognize that when God closes the curtain, that He's behind the curtain as well. And that curtain, when it's closed, is called in English, nature. That veil that covers God in Hebrew is called Hateva. Hateva means natural order. In Gemara's language they say, Olam kimin hagoholech. The world follows a pattern, a certain minhag, a certain system. As we know, gravity has its system, laws of science have their system, sunrise has its system, sunset has its system, the ocean tides have their system, biology has its system. It's all under the guise of Hateva. But the Ramban says, Mina nisima gidolima mefursamim, from the unveiled, we'll call those the unveiled miracles, Adam modeh banisima nistarim. The person will come to recognize that God is also managing and guiding and orchestrating all of life events, even when they're not supernatural. Shehem Yesod HaTorah Kula, and that is the Yesod of our whole Judaism. Judaism rests on this. That God is not a one-time event. But from the one-time event, it reveals to us that He is an all-time event. And just because you can't see Him does not mean He cannot exist. I guess when an airplane flies through the clouds and you can't see it, doesn't mean it doesn't exist anymore. It's just it's covered by a smoke screen. Olam Hazeh, as I've told you many times, is called Olam. Olam's root word comes from the Hebrew word He'lem. He'lem means something that is concealed. Now, concealed doesn't mean non-existent. Concealed just means it's behind a filter. It's behind a screen, a barrier. The Ramban says, open miracles do not have a purpose in of themselves. If a person thinks, I saw an open miracle, therefore what? It must lead to something. The revelation of an open miracle, the Ramban says, is to lead you to a yesod that Judaism rests on. And that God is managing and involved in all of the affairs of mankind. And there is no chance, and there's no happenstance, and there's no coincidence, and there's no roll of the dice, and there's no haphazardness, and there's no randomness. In Hebrew, we call it Hashkaha Piratit. We call that divine providence. If you come and tell me, Rabbi, yes, I believe that once in a while God will reveal Himself, but you know what happens after that? He goes back upstairs, and he leaves everything to chance, and then 1,000 years later, Rabotai, he does something to remind us, but he's not really intimately involved. Bar Minnan, you have now broken one of the foundations of Judaism. One of the foundations that the Ramban says, if you don't believe in this, and I quote Ramban, She'en le'adam helek b'torat Moshe Rabbeinu. A person does not have a share in the Torah of Moshe ad she'yamin, until he believes she'kol debarenu u'mekrenu kulanu nisim en bahem teva u'menagos shel olam. There's no such thing as teva. Everything. Our marriage, our children, our parnasa, our health, where we go, what happens, who we meet. All this is orchestrated from above. And what gets you to that? The open miracle brings you to this. That's the Ramban. Now you know the Guyim, specifically Amalek. Now when I say Amalek, where did he learn all this from? From his grandfather. You think Amalek's bad? Esav is the root of Amalek. Esav is the head of the families, the mob boss. Amalek is a product of that family. But all the tum'ah of Amalek is from his grandfather. Just like Klal Yisrael, our roots are from Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. The roots of Amalek is in Esav. You have to know that. So you know what they tell us about Amalek, which is ultimately Esav? That attack that he attacked us right when we came out of Egypt was not a military maneuver. It was a philosophical maneuver. Listen to what I'm telling you. And I'll prove it to you, it was philosophical. You know what they were trying to say? Yeah, you're right. 100%. God made a miracle for Yatei Yam Suf. It's undeniable. There's God in the world. We don't deny God. But after that miracle, He leaves. I'll see you in 1,000 years. And now it's back to randomness. So therefore, when they attack Klal Yisrael, they're coming to invoke a philosophical argument to Am Yisrael that God is not with you anymore. God was with you in Egypt when He made that stunning miracle in the merit of Moses, and now it's chance. He has left you. And God is not involved in the day to day. This is the power of Amalek. Guess what? There's a word in Hebrew called Safek. Safek means, not sure, doubt. The numerical value of Safek, of course, is 240. The numerical value of Amalek is also 240. That's Amalek. Amalek puts doubt. Is there a God? Who says he's watching you? Who says he's involved? Especially when you start seeing righteous people suffer, and you start seeing wicked people prosper. So Amalek comes into your brain and says, could there be a God if all these inconsistencies are going on? If there was a just God, how come all these things are going haywire? How come everything looks like it's upside down? Because there's nobody managing it. That's the self-take that Amalek puts in the brain. And before Amalek came, the Pasuk says the Jewish people felt his tumah. The Jewish people felt Amalek when they say, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu? Is God amongst us? What do you mean is God amongst you? You just look at the Yad Yam Suf. No, we know God makes miracles. We know there's a God. But is he amongst us? Yes, once in a while he comes out of the curtain, Rabotai, how are you doing? I'm here. And then he leaves. But is he amongst us? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu? This is what their doubt was, and Amalek was able to put this poison. I said Amalek is 240, yes? Now there's two words in the Hebrew language, not synonyms of course. There's no synonyms in the Hebrew language. Every word has its own definition. There's one word in the Hebrew language that is called Gadol. Gadol means great or tall. If I see somebody tall, I say, oh, he's Gadol. And there's another word that also means tall or lofty. The Hebrew word is called Ram. Gaon Mevilna now talking. What's the difference between Gadol and Ram? He writes, beautiful differentiation. Gadol is used when something is tall, but has its roots in a low place. A tree, for example, would be called Gadol. A tree is very high, but it has its roots on earth. A tree is Gadol. Ram, however, is something that is high, but does not have its roots below. For example, a cloud in the sky. It's high, but it's not low. A cloud would be called Ram. That's important to know the difference between Ram and Gadol. And now you understand the Pasuk in Tehillim. Ram al kol goyim Adonai. The goyim, they believe in God, but they say, you know what God is? He's Ram. Al ha-shamayim kevodo. God's glory is in heaven. It's got nothing to do with us. He has no interaction with human beings. There's no divine providence. He's Ram. He's all the way up there in the heavens, beyond the solar system, 400 zillion light years away, in his office, doing, you know, God stuff, not dealing with humanly stuff, which is menial. That's what the Goyim say. He's Ram. What do we believe? We believe what the Pasuk says in Tehillim. Adonai b'Sion Gadol. We believe God is Gadol. He's high, but he's low at the same time. He's involved. Adonai b'Sion Gadol. V'ram hu al kol ha'amim. But to the Amin, to the nations, God is a very important yesod. Very important yesod. Ram, incidentally, numerically equals 240. Reshmen. Amalek equals 240. Amalek says, there might be a God. I guess he can't deny it. He heard about Kiryat Yam Suf also. But he says, he comes out of the curtain once in a while, pick a boo, and he goes back inside. And then the world just goes back to chance. That's Amalek's M.O. That's his theory. And that's why, by the way, I tell you another important point. If we only had time to develop these points like we should. Why are we obligated to remember what Amalek did to us? Remember what Amalek did to us when we came out of Egypt. Is the Torah telling us to remember an anti-Semitic act? If that's the case, go to Abe Foxman from the Anti-Defamation League and he'll give you a whole list of things you can remember. Remember the Spanish Inquisition, remember the Cossacks, and remember the guy on Conan the Avenue that said dirty Jew, and remember the guy in the suburb. Anti-Semitics? Acts? Oh, there'd just be a memorandum from here to Mashiach. How many anti-Semites have caused us harm? But the Torah says, well, no. Remember Amalek. Must be that it's not anti-Semitism that we're trying to remember here. We're remembering over here the sinister plot of Amalek to take away your emunah. You just came out of Egypt, you saw God with your own eyes, and then Amalek shows up. Where is he now? Where is he now? God is only in the miracles. The Ramban doesn't exist in Amalek's lexicon. Judaism says, hold it, catch yourself. From Kiryat Yam Suf, that's supposed to teach you something. That says, if God is there, that means now when I'm fighting Amalek, and it's a natural war, there's nothing supernatural. Rocks weren't falling from heaven, nobody was levitating, it was a natural war. Nothing broke any rules of science in that war. But you must believe that God is present just as much. Min ha-nisim ha-gidolim, atam modeh ala nisim ha-nistarim, en bahem teva klal. Now I'm looking at the origin. I'm going back to that story over there. There's a famous Hatam Sofer, and he says, whenever you see the name Elohim, which is the name of God, that is the name of God through the veil of nature. You learn something today. Anytime you see the name Yudke Vavke, that's the name of God of revelation. Finish. Say Shehayanu, you learn something. Yudke Vavke is the name of God explicitly. There's no more explicit name of God than those four letters. That represents when God is at Yam Suf. Vayosha Adonai Bayomahu. Yudke Vavke. Anytime you're going to see God in the open, whether it's at Mount Sinai when He revealed Himself, you'll always see the name Yudke Vavke. Where is? Whenever Borei Olam appears through the veil of Teva, you'll always hear the word Elohim used. And I'm explaining to you why. In previous years I told you why. Because if you take the numerical value of the word for nature, it's Hateva. Hateva means the nature. It equals 86. And the word Elohim also equals 86. So if you like numerics, Hateva, He, Tet, Bet, Ayin, Hateva, 86, Elohim, 86, that's it. So you see there's a... But today I came to reveal a bigger secret. It's Hatam Sofer says. How can I explain this to you? There's a Hebrew word, me. Me. You know what me means in Hebrew? No, not me. Hebrew. Who? Very good. If somebody's knocking on the door, I say, Mize. I don't know who it is. Mize. Me always represents... You don't know. Lack of knowledge. Me, question. I don't know. Mize. Very important. Where is... There's another word in the Hebrew language that's called Elle. What is Elle? These. I cannot do the whole conjugation of the whole alphabet now. But the point is, these, those. Elle represents something that's in front of you. You see it. Elle. Learn the two words, very important. Me represents doubt. Ele represents clarity. If I say, Ele, this is, I know, this is it. If somebody comes from the school of me, that's the school of doubting God. Where's God? I don't see God. Me, where is He? But you know who came from that school, by the way? I know a student from that school. Paro. You remember Paro's question to Moshe? Me Hashem. He comes from the school of me. He says, where is me? Oh, remember that. He doesn't come from the school of Elle. Elle says, you know how I would say? If somebody knocks on the door, I say, Mize. And then the door opens up. I say, "Oh, Ele, it was you." The me has to lead to Ele. The question has to lead to who's behind the curtain. It is God. Ele. That's how way the Hatam Sofer understands those two words. And guess when you take those two words and you put them together, you know which word you have? Elohim. Elohim is made up of these two words. Aleph, Lamed, He, Yud, Mem. It's made up of me. Where is God? I don't see Him. There's a veil. Ah, Ele, He's here. That's the source of Elohim. Yud Kevavki, you wouldn't ask me. You see Him. If there's no door, and somebody rings the bell, I don't have to say who's there. I see Him. Who's there? There's no door. But when there's a door, me. And my answer must always be, when I question, Ele. As an example, if I could just give you an example. There's a Prophet Yeshaya. The Prophet Yeshaya says like this, Si'u marom enecha. He says, look at the heavens. Si'u marom, lift your eyes up tonight. Lift your eyes up. Ur'u, and look. Mi bara ele. Look who created this stuff. Look at the language he uses. The goal of life is to come to the conclusion, when you look at the sky and you say, me? Who created all this stuff? Did it evolution? Did it just happen, all this solar system? And then you put the two words together and you have Elohim. And that's the name of nature. The name of nature always represents a lack of understanding at first, me, and the conclusion is Elohim. Guess what, by the way? Paro is a me. What letters was he missing? Ele he was missing. That's why when God tells Paro a few weeks ago, he tells Moshe, go to Paro. Ulma'an, for the reason, shiti ototai ele bekirbo. Go put the letters ele in him. Go show him that I'm here. He's me, mi Hashem, mi Hashem. Go teach him the ele. That's what he doesn't have. And that's Amalek, by the way. Amalek is that. Amalek says, who says? Maybe there is a God, maybe there's not. You can't prove it, you can't see it, we have no picture. All that agnostic talk, or atheistic talk, placing doubt, safek, gematria, Amalek. Where did Amalek get this from? He got it from his grandfather. Listen to the DNA testing that I held this week, that I did this week. Yaakov comes with his family. Yaakov's sons with his family. All the family of Yaakov. What does Esav ask him? Oh, Vayomer Esav. Esav comes along and says to him, quote, oh, I have to find these pesukim. Oh, so the pasuk says, "Vayasim et shepachot mit yaldehem." Vayisai tenav. He lifts his eyes. Esav. Vayaret al nashim et hayladim. Vayomer. You know what he says? Mi ele. Me. In Esav's word, the me and the ele are separate. Mi ele. Oh, where did this come from? Meaning, he's telling him, yeah, you got lucky. You met a couple of girls, you got married, you had some children, you got some money. Luck shined on you. Nothing to do with God. Me, where did this come from? How is Yaakov going to answer? The only way to answer somebody that comes against you with the word me, ele, you have to put them together. And Yaakov answers back. Vayomen mi ele lach, vayomar hayladim asher hanan Elohim. This comes, I don't believe in that. You, me, Ele, you wise guy. You tried to take away my emunah. You tried to say, where did this come from? Elohim. He puts the two words together. From me, Ele, he makes an Elohim. That was the war. That's the original war of Amalek. This is the original Ma'aseh Avot Shiman Nebanim. Yaakov crosses a river, Kiryat Yamsuf, and all of a sudden, Esav comes and says, wow, what a lucky guy you are. Look at all those children. Look at all the benefits you have over here. Where did this come from? Yaakov says, "You're machshim ka v'zichnecha." Wise guy, this is a warfare, philosophical warfare you're making against me. This came from Elohim. Esav says, "Oh, I can't fight with this guy. This guy, he knows all the answers. He knows all the answers." Now, guess what? Deja vu. Anybody speak French over here? Deja vu. This story would happen exactly later on in history. Klal Yisrael would cross Yam Suf. They would see God. And all of a sudden, who shows up? Amalek. And he learned from his grandfather all the tricks. And he comes along and says, "Yeah, maybe God was at Yam Suf, but there's no natural order over here. God left you." And the Jewish people felt it. Yesh Hashem b'kedmenu. And Yeshua had to come with all the tzaddikim, and they had to weaken them, weaken that principle of Amalek. And thank God, just like Yaakov came out unscathed, we came out unscathed. But only because we had a Maaseh Avot, we had a precedent. The precedent succeeded, and therefore the result succeeded. Oh, now I go back to my text. I found that the Yitro now, Kohen Midyan Hoten Moshe, you know what he heard? Et kol asher asa Elohim. He heard about an Elohim issue. That's not a miracle. He must have heard of something of natural order. So that she right away says, Amalek, Melchemet Amalek. And then the pasuk says, Ki yotzi yudke vavke. And he also heard about the yudke vavke. Oh, that's all supernatural. That must be Kiryat Yam Suf. Rashi saw from those two words of the pasuk, Elohim and Yudke Vavke, that one of the miracles he heard was supernatural, and one of them must have been veiled. The war of Amalek, no miracles. It was a veiled situation. That's Elohim. Kiryat Yam Suf is Yudke Vavke. So the two names of God in this pasuk are a key to the interpretation. Now, I have one question, however. What happened first, Kiryat Yam Suf or Amalek? Kiryat Yam Suf. It wasn't a hard question. So then the pasuk says, and Yitro heard what Elohim did. That's Amalek. That's the nature one. And then what you'd give, it's out of order. It's not perfectly Siddush. I would have liked it to say, and Yitro heard what Yudke Vavke did in Egypt, and then he heard what Elohim did in the war. That would have been a nice chronological. Unless, no, the Pasuk is not giving you a chronological order. The Ramban said, what's the purpose of the open miracles? The purpose of the open miracles is not in of it itself. The purpose of the open miracles is to realize that God is with you every second of every single moment of the natural order of life. That's the goal. Because God's not going to make open miracles every day. The last open miracle, I don't know when it happened. But natural order, that happens every moment. So the goal is to reach. So the pasuk might be saying like this, Yitro, he came to God, he recognized Elohim. He recognized that God is the God. That's the goal, the nature. And you know how he got to it? He would see Hashem because he saw what happened in Yudke Vavke. From that opening of the curtain, he recognized the purpose. That's why the purpose is written first. The purpose is written first. Open miracles mean nothing unless it brings you to an understanding of God on a constant basis. I have two more things to say, and then I'll dismiss you. I said to myself, wouldn't it have been nice that if somewhere in the text of Vayishma Yitro Kohen Midyan, that the text would hint to me to go study the pasuk of Esav and Yaakov? I got lucky. I found it. But don't you think in the text itself it should tell me, go over there, That conversation when Esav says to Yaakov, me, that's the whole key of this subject over here. That's Esav sugya, that's Amalek. So I looked at the first word in the parasha, Vayishma. Vayishma, Vav, Yud, Shin, Mem, Ayin. Well, Vayishma has the letters Mi. And when you take the letters Mi out of Vayishma, you know the three letters you have left? Eshav. It's a big while. Vayishma is either Eshav Mi or Mi Eshav. The Torah said, go over there, go in that story over there and you'll see what happened over here. You know what Yitro was excited about? That there's not, because he was a Kohen Midyan. He came from the Vatican. He believed, yeah, there's God, but he's up there. Ram. And all of a sudden, in Minhemet Amalek, he realizes there's Elohim in the world. That God's everywhere. God's involved in the day-to-day. And the Pasuk says, Vayishma, go over there. Go to Esav Mi. Go to Mi Esav. Go to that school over there and see exactly what happened. And you'll see how Yaakov answered. The roots of Amalek happens not in this parasha, it's in Vayishlah. Last point. Oh. There's a pasuk that we say on Pesach. A few weeks later it'll be Pesach. So the pasuk says in the Mizmor, at the end of the Mizmor of Pesach, Mi hacham v'yishmor ele. Mi hacham v'yishmor ele. V'yitbonenu hazde Adonai. David HaMelech says, who is the hacham? Who is this hacham? You know who the hacham is? You know the hacham? V'yishmor ele. The hacham starts off as me. Where is God? But he gets to ele. He gets to the conclusion. There's God. Mi hakam bi yishmor ele. He holds on to the ele. He doesn't forget that there's God. And where does he learn that from? V'yitboninu hazdei Adonai. From the yud kevake, from the open miracles, he ponders the miracles of nature. And I ask you, who's that hakam? He doesn't tell us who the hakam is. He says, mi hakam, who's the hakam that does this? I know who the hakam that does it. Yitro is that hakam. Yitro saw, he heard about Kiryat Yamsuf. He heard about the war of Amalek. He said, if there's God over there, there must be God over here. That means God is not Ram, God is Gadol, God must be involved in the Hashka'at Peratit. This is the Hacham that David HaMelech is talking about. How do I know it's talking about Yitro? David doesn't say anything. He just says, Mi Hacham, who is the Hacham that came to this conclusion of Ele and he pondered Hazdei Adonai? You know how I know it's Yitro? This is Hatab Sofer says. If you have a paper, write on your paper. Mi Hacham. Who is the Hacham? Mi Hacham. Mem Yud. Hacham. How many letters, by the way? Mem Yud. Het Chaf Mem. Five letters. In Mi Hacham, there's a Yud. Beautiful. That's Yitro. Is there a chaf and a mem in those five letters? Ah, that's Kohen Midyan. Is there a chet and a mem in those letters? Hoten Moshe. Mi hacham is Rashi Tevot. Yitro Kohen Midyan Hoten Moshe. That's the hacham. That's the hacham. Mi hacham. That's Mi hacham. Yitro Kohen Midyan Hoten Moshe. The Hatam Sofer says he reached the highest level of Emunah. Not, you think it's a high level when you come to Kiryat Yam Suf and you say, oh, I believe in God. Yeah, big deal. Any Tipesh can believe in God when you see him at Yam Suf. I want you to believe him when the sea closes. And now you're going into a war and Amalek is beating you up. And you say, okay, where's the rocks? There are no rocks. No splitting of the sea. No suspension of gravity. And now come and say, you see God. That's the key. Not what it's revealed. Yud Kevavkes for amateurs. Our goal is to look up to the heavens and say, Mi bara ele. That's Elohim. That's the key of life. And Mi hacham v'yishmon ele. That's the key. The hacham is the one that can come to the revelation that there's somebody behind the door. And who is that hacham? Mi hacham? That's Yitro. Yitro. Kohen Midyan Hoten Moshe Rashi Tevot Mi hacham. And that's, put it this way, if that Emunah was able to bring a priest back to Judaism, could you imagine what it does for Jews that are Jewish already? This was able to bring a pagan And that's why he says in the next pasuk, and I'm done, Ataya Dati. He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, now I know, after all this revelations that came to me, Ataya Dati, Ki Gadol Adonai Mikol HaElohim. He says, I always knew about Yudke Vavke. But now I know God is not only Yudke Vavke, but He's Gadol Mikol HaElohim. He's also involved in Hashkaha Peratit. And once you start living like that, you start to see Hashkaha Peratit wherever you turn. It becomes obvious. Once this secret is revealed to you, and you start to look for Hashem where He is, you start to see the Hashkaha. Anytime you turn, you say, oh, Minashamayim, and Minashamayim. And it's very easy to make a mistake, but once you start to look for it, it's very easy to find it. It's like a little conundrum here. You know, if you're not looking for it, it's hard to find. But once you start opening up one eye, even half an eye to look for it, you start to see, oh, Minashamayim, look at this happen, look at that, and all of a sudden, you start to say, well, how did I think otherwise? The goal is to see that Kadosh Baruch Hu through the veil of Teva. And that's what the parasha is. That's the secret of Yitro. Vayishma Yitro. The source of Yitro is not here. Vayishma. It's Havmi. Go to that story. And once you see Yaakov's response, Elohim, you understand the power of what this man is. That's not Stam, a man. This is a man of... And that's why the Gemara says he merited to have a parasha named after him. Huh? After such a revelation, Halak Baruch, he gets a parashat Yitro. Very few people, Ozocheh, to have a parasha on their name. He was one of them. Because anybody that can give us a principle of emunah, he deserves to have an emiratzon. That HaKadosh Baruch gives us a zechut, not only to believe in Yudke Vavke, but as we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the goal is to believe Adonai Hu HaElohim. Adonai Hu HaElohim.